What were you saying there, Charlie?
This looks like I'm growing weed. To be honest, I'm not growing weed. This is a peperomia, just
Oh, is that a
not
new
weed.
plant?
No, it's actually quite an old one, and the rest of it also not cannabis. Just for those who are watching the video, you know.
So you've gone back to your green finger days then?
No, not really. They're all dying. It's a good job you can't see it very well, isn't
No,
it?
I mean, I'd be hardly one to talk. I don't even know how to keep a plant alive.
Yeah, some of them are doing okay, but it's not really the season, so it's not that unsurprising that some are dying. I'm just gonna put
Did
this.
you ever, when you went to Asia, pick up accidentally on purpose any plant cuttings?
No, because I wasn't a plant person then, but just you wait till
Oh.
this time and I will be doing that. And I'll be walking around going, oh, that's a, I don't know, Monstera. And you'll be like, I don't care. And I'll be
I'd
like,
be like,
you
you
shouldn't
can get
care.
those in England.
Yeah. I'm like, it's not the same. Sorry, I'm gonna actually
Singapore
vomit.
would have been a good place to steal
Yeah.
plants.
Not steal. Not
I
steal.
mean,
To admire.
like you fall over and a plant lands in your hand, and then it somehow ends up in your suitcase from the
Yeah.
palm of your hand.
That definitely didn't happen when I went to Rome at all. It definitely did not end up in my pocket. I could show you actually, it's downstairs. What a shame. I can't show you, but definitely did not happen. Also, when I left my last job, definitely also didn't happen then. Definitely didn't steal a plant.
What do you mean at your last job?
They had a state plant in the office, and I just definitely did not take a little baby snake plant.
It just landed in your bag. Like you must have walked past and your bag was open and the leaf fell
Exactly.
in.
It was not my fault. It just,
No.
I opened my bag and it was there, and because I'd already left, I couldn't return it. So, what do you want me to do, you know?
We are recording, aren't we? Oh my God, I'm so scared.
I'm ready.
You done with your yogurt?
Yeah.
Okay. Hello and welcome to But Where Are You From? A podcast by Be Seen or Podcast, as some of our northern friends might say. Britain's East and Southeast Asian network. That was for Juma because we saw her over the weekend and she, every time I said anything with a long A, she'd go bath or bath. She'd go, you mean bath, don't you? And now I'm triggered. Anytime I say a word, I'm like, Juma's listening to me and she's judging me.
Okay, so I'm
So,
going to do that for the Northern contingent throughout
all
this
right,
entire podcast. I'll correct
yeah.
you.
Interrupt me at every possible moment to correct
Yeah.
me so that I'm
Okay.
speaking properly. I'm your host, Amy Fung, and I am with
Charlie! Charlie one.
Charlie. Yeah, we are. Who are we? Are we Be Seen co-founders?
Yeah, are we
Yeah, we are
not?
Be Seen. Yeah.
BC co-founders, BC core team, BC babes.
EC
No.
Galeets. I mean, we're gonna
Yeah.
be launching. Maybe we should launch EC Galeets
On the
on this episode.
podcast. Are we using the BC platform for our own game?
No, it's an extension. It's an arm of the larger network, I would call it.
Okay, sure.
Because we're still spreading EC joy.
Yeah, always. Okay, follow us on TikTok, 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 EC Galeets. For some prime content, which you'll hear more about in a bit.
Yes, and we do welcome sponsorship. If anyone from the Asian Tourism Board, from Cathay Pacific, Vietnam Airlines, Singapore Airlines, we're your people because we have influenced people, haven't we, Charlie?
100%. Like, we went to Vietnam, and then you should have seen the list of people who went to Vietnam after us.
Oh my
People.
goodness, I can get testimonials from people.
We'll add that to EC Galley.
We
Yes.
should, we should. That was a good, I feel like we started at the end because to intro the topic of this podcast is that we are talking about travels, aren't we?
Yeah, my absolute favorite thing to talk about. If you want me to talk for an hour solid, it's got to be about holidays, basically.
Well, we were a bit worried that actually an hour wouldn't be enough because we do have a lot to talk about.
Exactly. I think you should just jump into it. Let's
Okay,
start.
then. Well, let's start with why we went traveling together last year. What happened? Can you give the background?
Can I give the background? So I can give the background as to why I went traveling. I don't remember how it ended up that we went traveling together, so maybe you can fill in some gaps, but I'll start with mine. So I decided that I needed a 2 month break from work, and I asked my work very nicely, my work that I'm no longer with, that I stole a plant from, if that's not been cut out at the start, and if it has, I'm sorry. You can ask me about that. But anyway, so I asked my work for a 2 month break, thinking they would say no, I'm thinking they would maybe negotiate me down. And anyway, they said yes. So I booked off to Asia for 2 months, so Southeast Asia. And originally it was meant to be a solo holiday, but I actually spent a very little amount of time alone. I met lots of different people along the way, namely the Pix clan. So Amy, so I started in Singapore. Then I went to Brunei to see my family for the first time in over 20 years. Then I went to Vietnam and worked from the north to the south. Then met Pix Clan in the south. Then I actually can't really remember the order. Then I went to Malaysia. Did I go to Malaysia after that? Okay. Then,
No, you went to the Philippines.
no, the Philippines was last.
Oh, okay.
So I did. Oh yeah, so then I went to Malaysia, then I went to the Philippines, then I went home. So, Amy, how did you and your family end up on the trip at the same time as me?
Well, I got invited to a wedding of a friend of ours. So, hello, Kwai and Tabby. I just thought, hey, let's just turn this into a big Asia trip because they were getting married in Singapore. So I put a message out there on one of the Be Seen chats and said, hey, if anyone's going to Asia, let's meet up. And Charlie decided to say yes. And actually, I have a question for you, Charlie. Of course, you jumped into this opportunity and thought, yeah, let's totally go on holiday together. Did you have a slight fear about the situation? Because we had not properly gone on holiday together apart from BeTreat. And there's quite a jump from traveling around the world, like literally on the other side of the world with just our family. Like we did book accommodation together. So, there was a chance of escape, but it could have gone all wrong. So, was there, like, be honest, you can be, was there a little bit of fear there?
Yes, but not in a bad way. I think anyone that knows me knows that I am not the most sociable person. So, the idea of spending 2 months alone is like terrifying to a lot of people, but to me, that is ideal. Like not speaking to anyone for 2 months. But I really love my friends. I really love the Pix family. So, I think it was scary in the sense of like when we first booked it felt so far away, and I was like, what if something happens? What if we fall out? What if we're not friends? What if, all these things that were going through my head. And I think honestly, when we actually booked it, you were the member of Be Seen that I knew the least, because we just had naturally hadn't worked together on that many projects. Not like, we didn't get on or anything, obviously we did, but I think we just spoke the least of everyone, or I spoke to you the least, should I say. So it was a bit like, oh, I really hope we actually get on when we spend 2 full weeks glued at the hip, basically. Spoiler alert, it did work out okay. I think it was all fine. I don't think Amy hates me just yet, but there is still time. Who knows?
Well, actually, I've got some news for you, Charlie.
Oh, God.
I'm joking. I'm
What
joking.
now? But I mean, was it scary for you? Because obviously you came with your partner and your daughter. So obviously that's a very different dynamic, just introducing someone. Now I had met the family and I think we actually did things to meet beforehand. So it wasn't a huge surprise. Like you came to stay with me, I came to London. But was it scary for you to have a random auntie on your trip?
No, not really, because I think that we had obviously hung out already, and you are really good with stating your boundaries. So I feel like I already knew quite a lot beforehand about you in terms of how you like to travel and what you don't like. And you said stuff like, oh, I like having my own room, but spoiler alert, we did actually share a room
Oh yeah, she made
forced her.
Yeah.
I went into her personal space, but we had a cool room. So it was in Penang and it was a mezzanine level. So we're in the same room.
Yeah, and let me just say, I also gave Amy the double bed and I stayed on like a little tiny like futon thing, which was very comfortable, but also now she owes me, just FYI.
Well, come Japan, you will be having the world's biggest bed in Tokyo.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like we're jumping too far ahead. I feel like, okay, so obviously I went on these 2 months. Which bits did you come to?
The bits I went to where I met up with you was Vietnam. So when we landed, we got our dates wrong. So
that is also true. Yep. So she got me down to Saigon a day early. And I was like, what time are you landing? No reply, because they were on the plane. Amy was insistent. I can't even remember what you said. You said like, oh, we set off at like 11 p.m. and we land at 7 a.m. And I thought, that doesn't sound right. And I'm pretty sure I asked you to check with your partner and you were like, no, it's right. It was not right. So I had a day. What did I even do on that day?
I think you just acclimatized, didn't you? You said you like alone time. So I thought, you know, Charlie will really appreciate this unplanned extra day.
Yeah, sure. I also left Hoi An early for that, but it's a good
Your
job.
Fancy hotel.
Yeah, my really bougie hotel with a bath in the middle of it, which is the fanciest thing I've ever been on. Shout out to my aunt for the recommendation. It was glorious. They had a breakfast buffet that had banquin. I'm sorry if I butchered the saying of that. But they had that just every day and I would just eat the plate and then they bring more and I'd just eat it again. Continually, basically, for about an hour. So anyway,
I think you can have too much of a good thing though, can't you?
No, you can't.
It's better to get away from that.
No, not when I know I'm not going to have it in England. So there's no such thing. Okay, so you came to Saigon. So we met up originally in Saigon. And then
we met up in Saigon. We booked the same apartment building, which I think if you're traveling with a friend and say you're traveling with family or like two groups, that's a really good tip, isn't it? Like I found it really useful that we could meet up really easy because all we had to do was meet in our apartment lobby. But also we had space to ourselves and there was a pool and everything. So that's a top tip. And we went to Saigon. And the one thing I remember about Saigon, which was amazing, were the grabs.
Yeah.
Just having a taxi arrive within 2 minutes on your doorstep and taking you anywhere, being ridiculously cheap was the best thing. And I really miss that from that holiday.
Yeah. Can I say though, I don't know whether we're going to get into this right now, but I would say that was our biggest difference on holiday. And I don't even know that I've said this to you, but you like to get a grab everywhere, whereas I like to walk. And I'd be like, oh, it's a 12-minute walk. And Amy would be like, yeah, let's get a grab. I'd be like, 12 minutes. we can walk that.
I wonder if it's because we had little Pix, my daughter, with us.
Yeah.
So I was probably thinking, oh, she's not going to be able to cope with this heat.
Yeah.
And because I think if I were on my own, I'd probably be like, yeah, very easy going. Let's just flex and walk. But I do have a lot of walking planned for our next trip. So you needn't worry about that.
Okay, I will hold you to that. Yeah. I think as well, obviously in Vietnam, there's lots of traffic. It's not the easiest to cross the road. So it was probably safer to just get a grab, even if it was just to take us to the other side of the road. I think having little pics with us, that was probably the right decision. But in Malaysia, I don't know what your excuse was. You were a bit ill, so maybe it was that. But
oh yeah, I was quite sick because I think you were a bit ill and you were fine, so it didn't affect you that badly, but then when it hit me, it just completely flattened me.
Yeah. So I will hold you to it that on our next trip, which spoiler alert we have booked, we can walk more.
it is going to happen, and I've bought walking shoes and everything. I've planned my shoe thing.
Amazing.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yes, that was Vietnam. Are we jumping all over the place?
Yeah, a bit. Okay, let's go back. So, what do you think called you to go to Asia? Like, I feel like there was like a mass holiday, so to speak, of lots of our friends and like people we know. We all kind of went to Asia at the same time. I think we were some of the first. And then throughout kind of last year, I think most people we knew went at some point. Obviously there was like the pandemic and things, so people hadn't been. But, you know, did it feel like, I know for me, for going to Brunei, because I hadn't been for 20 years, so I hadn't seen a lot of my family for 20 years, and actually, well, over 20 years, and actually a lot of my family came. So people like my Auntie Mary, who I hadn't seen since I was born, basically, some of my cousins who now live in Canada, everyone kind of went back for New Year. So it was like a real homecoming. And it was really special, actually, because I think because I'd had that connection with my roots that I'd been building since kind of starting BC, since the pandemic, obviously, that kind of thing. It was really nice to go back and then experience that with my family, practice a bit of Chinese, although they all speak English. So it was definitely easier to just speak English, and see my ama and my Chinese grandma and just spend time with people. And there was so much that hadn't changed, but also so much that had changed that I wasn't expecting and things like that. So I don't know, obviously, you've talked a bit previously about your family kind of coming from Vietnam originally. So did it feel special for you to go to Vietnam?
Yeah, I would say it was actually life-changing, and it was something that I needed, because I think I had this perception of Vietnam, my family having had to leave there because of wars and things like that, which were deeply traumatic and still, I think, impact my family in different ways. And so I really needed that perception broken down a bit, because I felt like I had this view that Vietnam was stuck in this certain time and I didn't really know what it was like now. And so I have a really vivid memory of us being in that square, and it was on Valentine's Day. So exactly a year ago today, we went to Saigon and we were sat in the middle of a square and there was loads of stuff going on. It was almost like a better version of Leicester Square, because it's really open for a start and it's not London as well. And lots of people are hanging out and chilling, and it was in the middle of the night and Saigon has loads of neon lights and the atmosphere was just really cheerful. And there was a group of girls performing a TikTok video. And at that time, New Jeans were really big and there was that dance going around on TikTok quite a lot. So they were recording a video. And I don't know why, but it just made me really happy, because it was just good to see young Vietnamese people and old Vietnamese people just enjoying themselves and just being themselves. I know that's so silly to say, but because we don't have exposure to contemporary Vietnamese culture or contemporary Southeast Asian culture in general, it was just nice to see firsthand. And I was very deliberate in not really wanting myself to go to like the war museum or go to anywhere where I would be steeped in that history, because I almost feel like I know enough and I've explored that enough. And in some ways, in a tiny way, I've come into contact with it secondhand through my parents. So I didn't really want to explore that side anymore. I wanted to see Vietnam as it is now, because I wanted to almost like exercise those ghosts that were in me. And yeah, I remember our first night as well, having dinner and just seeing people hanging out in the street and that nightlife sort of vibe was just good. And so when I think about that trip, it does make me really emotional, because I just think it was life-changing and it's something that, you know, it scratched an itch and I want to scratch that itch some more.
Oh, I feel like we haven't actually spoken about that, and I feel so honored that I was able to be on that trip with you.
But it was good to have you on that holiday. It was honestly so good.
Yeah, and I think obviously, like, going back to Brunei, I have been to Brunei before, but a lot has changed since I was last in Brunei. So obviously, for people who don't know, Brunei is now under Sharia law, which had actually stopped us going back for a long time, for many reasons. But, you know, I had this perception that when I went, it was going to be really vastly different, a very, very strict country. I mean, it is strict by Western standards regardless. But actually, I had very similar feelings that actually it was fun. Like, there was lots of fun things, like going out and spending time with people. Like, there was really good food, which I didn't really expect because it's such a tiny country. Well, no, actually, I knew there would be good food, but I thought it'd be all like the things I'd already tried, like the Golomi, that kind of thing, the kway tiao, like those things, like the noodles, the hawker stalls things. But actually, there's some really fancy restaurants and things, like, and they've really kind of absorbed other cultures that are nearby and kind of embraced those. And like you say, it was really fun. There was things to do. My parents always used to say, there's nothing to do in Brunei. Like, it's just a tiny jungle, basically. But we went to Temburong National Park, which I loved. It was amazing. We went up, like, in the trees. We went on a boat ride to see the world's biggest floating village, which was amazing because I was like, why is this in Brunei? You know, it was so random. Like, of all the places for it to be, it was in Brunei. So Kampong Ayer, it's called. And we went on a boat ride down the river, which name... The Brunei River? I don't know. I don't know what it's called.
Official it's, name, Brunei
it's
River.
It's probably called something along the lines of the Brunei River. But, you know, there was, like, lots of, like, activities. It's obviously not a tourist country, but there was still lots of fun things to do, like, enjoyable things. So it was really nice to see that and to see my family kind of having fun and have fun with my family, go out and do social things. So I think that was pretty transformative for me as well. I really loved it.
And you saw a lot of family as well that you hadn't seen for a long, long time. And did your dad go on that trip too?
Yeah, so my mum and dad had been back to Brunei. Like, I think they tend to try and go every 3 or 4 years. So I think they went just before the pandemic hit. So it hadn't been as long for them. But I hadn't seen any of my family that live in Brunei for, I think I last went in 2001. So 22 years. But then there were certain people, like my Auntie Mary, when I went to Brunei in 2001, my Auntie Mary had already left to go to Canada. So I literally hadn't seen her since I was 6 weeks old. Despite the fact that, you know, everyone says to me, oh, you're so like your Auntie Mary. You look like your Auntie Mary. Aww. I was like, I don't even know who Auntie Mary is. Like, I obviously knew her, but I didn't know her as a person. And actually, when I met her, I was like, yeah, I'm like my Auntie Mary. Like, I feel like we kind of have the same build, we have the same stance, we're both quite fierce, but in like a good way, you know, like know our own mind type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a lot of myself in my Auntie Mary, so that was really nice. And also, like, in my head, I never remember affection from my Chinese family. Like, I'm sure many people can relate to not having that affection, but actually my ama was so affectionate. Like, she just wanted to, like, touch and hug you all the time. And everyone knows I'm not a hugger, but I obviously made an exception for my ama. And, you know, she was just so happy. Like, you would sit on the sofa together, not necessarily talking because she doesn't speak that much English. But, you know, she would hold your hand while you're sat there and things like that. And I just thought, you know what, I've never, because we live in completely opposite sides of the world, I haven't had that chance to have that affection and that love from that side of the family. So it was so nice. And, you know, they fed me really well. I stayed with my auntie. You know, I got the hongbao for New Year, and I was very much included with all the festivities. Whereas I feel like, obviously, I don't see them that much. Like, it would have been easy for them to kind of not forget about me, but not include me to the same extent. But it wasn't like that at all. So it was really nice.
Now, I really hear that. I feel like in Asian culture, maybe I'm just talking about my own family, but I do feel like I've heard this a lot about Asian families, is that when you do go home, it is like you could easily just move back into your family home and nobody would really bat an eyelid. Like, if I just said I'm gonna move back in with my parents, not that I want to anyway, but say if I did, and I have done several times, say when I've moved out and moved back, there's never a sense of like, oh, you've flown the nest, you've left, like this is no longer your home. Like, your home will always be your home, and if you were to stay there forever, I feel like, well, especially my family, it'd be like, yeah, that's fine, like we all grow up in the same house. It's that cross-generational thing, which is, I think, a lot more welcome in Asian culture, probably lots of other cultures too.
It's funny you say that, though, because I feel like if I actually said to my mum and dad, like, oh, I want to move home, my dad would be like, no problem, let me get everything set up, and my mum would be like, no. So, like, as if anyone doesn't know, my mum is white British and my dad is from Brunei, and I very much think my mum will be like, no, we got rid of you like 10 years ago, you're not coming back now.
Yeah.
But my dad would be like, yeah, no problem, I'll chuck mum out if I have to.
I would love to move in with Papa Wong because his food is amazing. I don't think he would welcome me. I think he would definitely be like, no, your friend's not staying. But if I had a chance, I'd be like,
no, I don't know, if you told him his food was great every day, I think he'd be happy. Oh, and if you spoke Cantonese to him just a little bit, he'd be all right with it.
Oh my gosh. And actually, I have a question. Did you flex your Mandarin very much?
No. So I practiced my Mandarin for like 6 months before I went, and it got loads better. So obviously I studied at a uni, well, not obviously, if you don't know, I studied at uni. So I did have a reasonable level, but obviously I'd forgotten about quite a lot of it. So I really practiced before I went to be able to speak. And I used it a bit, but the places that I went where they spoke Mandarin, so Singapore, Malaysia and Brunei, they also speak English. So it was just very easy for me to not. And what actually put me off is when I went to, well, not put me off, but when I went to Singapore, I was like, I went to a hawker stall. This is kind of in between Brunei and Vietnam. I was meant to fly straight to Vietnam, but I didn't get my visa in time. My fault. Actually, it wasn't my fault, but still, anyway, whatever. So I went to a hawker stall and I was like, there was something that I wanted to order. And I was like, I know how to say this in Mandarin. I'll just order it in Mandarin. I was like dead sure of my tones. So I went up and ordered it and they just looked at me and went, what? So I was like, okay, I'll just say it in English. I literally can't even remember what it was now, but it was very disheartening. So then I kind of tended to default to English. I think there was some use for it though. Like I think in Malaysia, I don't know that you'll remember this, when we were trying to go to the airport, there was an uncle who came to pick us up in a Grab that we had ordered, and he kept shouting at us that basically we hadn't ordered a big enough taxi, even though there was two of us and two suitcases. But he kept speaking to you in Mandarin, even though you don't speak Mandarin.
Oh, so yeah, I remember like, that.
Kind of translating, but I didn't really speak back to him, but I could translate it. And I think even though I didn't necessarily use it to speak to my family, it was very helpful to be able to follow the conversations, because obviously most of their conversations still happen in Mandarin regardless, or, and they'll just like throw in some English words. So I think I used it a lot, even though I didn't speak it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that in Vietnam. And also there was that time when we went to that outdoor drinking cafe thing because my partner wanted to have some special beer. Oh, yeah. And we sat down. I remember the uncle went and spoke to me in Vietnamese, and I did my line of sorry, I don't speak Vietnamese. And everyone on that trip up until that point were really fine with it, like friendly, or just went, oh, okay, then, and left it. But he actually got quite angry. Like I remember him almost shouting a little bit, or even ranting and raving privately. Like he went back to his whatever it was that he had on the side of the road. And I remember thinking, oh, there's that expectation of me, I guess, of him thinking, oh yeah, you speak Vietnamese and you know you're one of us. But I guess he, I don't know, he almost seemed disappointed. But that was one memory of Vietnam. And I remember my other memory was in Malaysia when we went into that shop that sold Cheng Sam, and the lady in there spoke Cantonese, and I was able to communicate with her. I felt a bit embarrassed, to be honest, to try and use my Cantonese because I really don't think it's good enough. And a lot of times when I tried to speak it, people would go, and not really understand. But she was like really welcoming of it and would reply to me. You know, sometimes they reply in English straight away and you're like, oh, thanks.
Yeah.
But actually, she replied in Cantonese, which was nice. And that was a good memory.
Is that why you ended up buying two Cheng Sams?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Because did you even wear either? Oh, no, you did wear one of them to the wedding, right?
I wore the green one to the wedding, and I wore the black and white one to the EC Heritage Month BC event.
Okay, that's fine then.
I have worn them at least once, so it was worth the money.
Why don't we talk about now? I mean, I'm just hijacking this. You're the host, but I've got a question. So we obviously went to Vietnam and Malaysia together. What was the favorite thing that you ate in Vietnam and Malaysia? I'll give you two because I don't think they're the same.
That's so hard. I think my favorite memory, can I have two for Vietnam?
It depends what they are. You can tell me them and I'll tell you whether it's valid or not. And if not, you have to pick one.
Oh, I have everything. Oh, God, I just thought three. Okay, can I have a food and a drink?
No.
Oh, gosh. Such a taskmaster. You are like a ma. You are really fierce. So I would say food-wise, Bang Quan. I mean, that place that we went to for breakfast, that only... Oh, no. No, I need to change it to the other place that did the pancakes with the... I've forgotten the name of it. But the one with the, sent me a photo of it today.
Yeah, because we were eating it a year ago today. What did they call it? Like rice?
I can't remember it. I'll put it in the show notes, everyone.
Yeah, and it looked like the steamed pancake things, like for Bangkwan, but they weren't filled yet, and then you filled them yourself at your table. That's basically a description of them.
They bring you a tower. So it's like a tower of steamed rice pancakes that are very thin and flat, and then you have lots of dips and fillings that you order and they bring to the table, like loads and loads of tiny plates, and you can get refills of the pancakes and of the fillings and dips, and it was just endless. It's like a traditional breakfast, isn't it? And it comes endlessly, and the fillings were like, you know, your ham and your veggies, and like there was mango dip and there were barbecue chicken and things like that.
Were they called wet cakes?
Yes, that's it. Yeah. Well done. Yeah.
Thank you, wet everyone cakes. Here, although. They were so good. I must admit, they were probably up there with my favourite as well. And I think it was nice, like, the social aspect of it, to, like, you know, each kind of getting it and making it yourself. Because I think the problem with Bangkwan is, I mean, Bangkwan would always be my favourite. And I'm really sorry if I'm not pronouncing it right. I'll ask my aunt after how badly I pronounced it. But I think the problem with it is, because it's ready made, I eat it in an instant. Like, it's gone within like 3 seconds. Whereas this, because you made it yourself, it, you know, it made me take a bit longer.
Yeah, like we actually had to leave a gap between each time we ate it. Like, we were forced to, because we had to make it from scratch.
Exactly. Yeah.
What was your favorite in Vietnam?
I think I have to say the Bangkwan. Oh, no. I changed my mind. I'm sorry. So again, I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, but the Ban Seo. So you weren't actually with me, but we are going to this place this year. So I'm going to take you to this. But it was so good. It was when I was in Hoi An, and I just, there was a, near my bougie hotel, there was just like a handwritten sign that said Ban Seo. And I was like, I like that. I'm going to go. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'll just turn up. Now, one thing though, when I've had Ban Seo in England, it just comes as the pancake, nothing else. So it's very easy. Like, you just eat that. This came as a banquet. There was rice paper, there was lettuce, there was sauces, there was scissors you had to cut at yourself. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. So I had to sit there for a bit and watch this person next to me. I was like, what are they doing? How are they eating this? Because I don't want to look like one of those people who doesn't know what they were doing. So that was quite fun, and it was delicious. Like, I think I ended up going 3 times, which is ironic because I think I was only there for 5 days. But it was so good. Like, the sauce just was amazing. The crispiness, sensational. And it was like not a really busy place. And by the end, the guy who was there, he just like knew who I was, and he would just like bring over my food. It was just great. So I've got to put that as my top, and I can't wait to take you.
God, I'm so excited. And I actually wish you were there for my other favorite as well, because I think you would have really liked it. And I'm gonna butcher the name as well. It's like Ban Thot. Okay, sorry everyone. But it was a Vung Tao speciality, and it's mini tiny battered pancakes with a prawn in the middle, and it comes with a mountain of herbs and pickles and stuff like that. And then you pop it in the Vietnamese rice paper, and then you dip it, and then the fish sauce like melts the rice paper a bit, and it's that like crispy pancakey battery, like umami taste. But I have to say, Vietnamese rice paper is something else. It's like next level. Like, it's so light. So I've got some in my kitchen drawer now, because our good friend Hung bought some back from Vietnam for us, and I've not touched it yet because I'm a bit like, it's sacred stuff, I can't eat it because it's too good, which is ridiculous.
I think you can eat it now though, because you know we're going back soon, so you can get some yourself, so it's fine. God,
good shout. Yeah, I'm allowed to now. Yeah, good point. Moving on, what was your favorite food in Malaysia?
I'm gonna go with, now I do have a drink as well, but we can talk about that after.
I can't believe it's one rule for you, one rule for me.
No. I can't put it as my favorite because it's a drink, basically. But my favorite food was the Siam Road Char Kway Teow, I think.
Yes, I was going to say that.
We waited for 2.5 hours for a singular uncle who was frying it on his charcoal wok thing. it was really worth it. The only thing I would complain about is I should have got two portions, because after 2.5 hours, I was like, I'm still hungry. Where's the rest of it? Like, we couldn't wait again. But that was delicious and 100% worth the wait. And that was a recommendation from Follow the Farang. So Chris has lots of good recommendations. I think he's got a map, so I would definitely recommend that. But yeah, that was amazing. Just so tasty, like all the wok hay, like, and it had lap chewing in it, and it's just sensational.
I think I might share my Penang Google Maps, because I think I've put down all the places that we visited. So that's a BC exclusive for all of you, a freebie if you want to visit the same places. But
are you only sharing your Penang one and not our, like, a Saigon one?
Yeah, I could share all of them. Yeah, no problem. I'm not going to gatekeep the good places, but only if you follow our special TikTok EC Galleys so that we get sponsorship. But yeah, I remember that. I remember we had to take turns queuing. So yeah, sometimes you stand queue and I would sit down. And there, it was so hot that day. We went in the middle of the day. And then when you got closer to the charcoal burner, like, yeah, the fire from the sun was burning my head, and the fire from the burner was like burning my face. And yeah, then like, we actually got it. But you were right, because I remember looking around after we ordered and noticed obviously everyone was on top of it and had ordered double the amount, so we'll have to go back next time. And I remember making you eat every morsel. I was like, yeah, Charlie, you left a tiny bit, and you had to like completely clear your plate because it's just too good.
Yeah, it was definitely worth it. Would you say that was your favorite then as well in Penang?
It was my favorite. Yeah, it was my favorite, because we obviously went to KL as well, Kuala Lumpur. No, wait, we had another favorite in Penang, a special drink.
Yeah, so this leads us on nicely to our hotel where Amy made me share a room with her. So like she said, I'm very clear with that I don't like to share rooms with people. But it's okay. Amy was like, no, I've got this really cool hotel. It wasn't really a hotel, it was a guest house, wasn't it? And I can't remember how you sold it to me. Like, it was a Heritage Inn. That was how you sold it to me. You were like, it's dead cool, like, it'd be really nice. So I was like, okay, whatever. So we did stay in the same room. And it was fine, because like Amy said, there was a mezzanine. But
Charlie's face just now was like rolling her eyes.
It was fine. Yeah, it was fine. We played on the Switch together one night, which Amy let me play with her Switch, so that was fun. But at the bottom of it, there was a cafe. So we had breakfast there in the morning, and there was always that man who came down with no shoes on. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
It was a man that came down with no shoes on, because you weren't allowed to wear your shoes upstairs, so you left them at the bottom. Yeah, which was fine, but then the man just decided to never wear shoes, which I was like, interesting. But even the breakfast we had in the mornings was great. But then one day we went down and there was a calamansi freeze, and we really loved calamansi juice anyway, so from like when we were in Vietnam we had that a lot. They're like, yeah, let's try a calamansi freeze, it's hot, you know, that's gonna be good. Next level. It was sensational.
Yeah.
And then I think we had like two every day until we left.
Yeah, my life is like before calamansi freeze and after calamansi freeze, because no drink has measured up just yet.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the amount we've talked about a calamansi freeze since we left is really testament to how good it was.
Yeah,
like, how often do you talk about a drink? But we bring it up
at least every month in our conversations.
Yeah, 100%. It was just so good. It was like a slush puppy, but calamansi flavor.
There must have been something else in it. Like, was there honey or maybe squeeze of lime? That's just something.
Yeah. I was about to say, if anyone's going to Penang, you've got to go to the Ren Y Tang Heritage Inn, because that's where it is. And there's also like a really nice museum-y bit as well. I mean, do you class it as a museum? Like a preserved bit of the old doctor's apothecary? How do you say that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Apothecary? Yeah.
Whatever Amy just said. So it's quite interesting as well. So you've got to go there.
Yeah, it was really good. Like, it's got the history of the family that used to run it, and it had all the medicines, what they used back in the day to treat people, and a lot of history about why that family. I think originally it was a Chinese family, but history being history, like they got persecuted for being Chinese, so they had to leave, etc. So it was really good to learn that history. And yeah, I think it was worth staying there in the same room.
No, it definitely was. It was actually a really nice place to stay. I don't, I think, yeah, it made it really fun. It added an extra dynamic. And it, had we not stayed there, would we have discovered the calamansi freeze?
No. And it was such an error that we didn't ask for the ingredients.
Do you think she'd have given it us?
I was thinking about today in prep for this podcast, actually messaging them and asking them for the recipe and surprising you, be like, Charlie, this is the gift of your life. But I chickened out because I was a bit scared. I'd be like, no, it's protected.
What's the point telling me if you didn't do it? Just spoil it. This is what you could have had, but I didn't do it. So
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Next time. Next time we'll have to go back.
We have to. We definitely will. Penang was amazing, like really hot and humid and just stunning. It's just like a mix of cultures as well. Sort of seeing different quarters and what was going on. When I was well. When I was sick, it was just, I know, I don't remember much, but when I was well, it was really good.
There was one point where Amy was sick, and this is really random. We went to get our nails done, which I feel like we did quite a lot while we were away. I feel like that's become a bit of a tradition. But Amy had asked for like jade-inspired nails, and she came out and they were just green, and she was like, I'm too sick to care. I don't care. Just get me out. Like she just wasn't bothered at that stage. She was like, it's fine, whatever.
And do you remember when we turned up the first time and she was like, no, you didn't book? And it was because you had the miscommunication, because in Charlie's head, you replied, it's fine. And she took that to mean, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Whereas you took it to mean, yes, confirmed.
Yeah. That was
a question for our audience. What does it's fine mean to you?
Yeah. So basically she said, I'd asked for this time. And she said, no, we don't have that. We've got 2:30 or whatever it was. And I said, okay, it's fine. So in my head that was booked, like, okay, it's fine, give me that time instead. But yeah, she didn't take it like that.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's something to bear in mind if you go to Penang. It's fine has a completely different meaning. Well, I actually see it both ways. I do understand why she might think. Sometimes I say it's fine if it's no thank you, you know.
Yeah, but I feel like that'd be like, well, I mean, obviously you can't get this over, I think it was like Instagram messaging, but that'd be like if I was doing like, oh, no, it's fine. And I think I'd always say, it's fine, thank you. Oh, no, actually. I don't know. I'm making excuses, but yeah, basically we have to go back the next day.
It was good nails, okay? It was fine. I do still want jade nails. It's still something I want. So we'll go back. But yeah, Kuala Lumpur, we're half an hour in. We've only just gone to Kuala Lumpur. Okay.
I mean, I feel like in KL, we weren't there for very long. So I was there for longer. Because I went to my cousin's wedding there. That's a whole other story, because I feel like Asian weddings, maybe we should do a podcast on our Asian wedding experiences, because you went to one and I went to one. So I was there a bit longer than you, and then I think you just came for like one day or something like that, 2 days.
I only went for one day,
and we met up with King Wei, who was also there, and her mum. So that was really nice, and we went for good food. We had good food there as well, actually, didn't we?
Really good.
I can't remember what it's called. And it was a Jalan Besar, but that's in Singapore.
Oh my god, we didn't talk about that amazing place in Vietnam with the soft shell crab. Oh my goodness. Okay, next episode. Sorry about that, I'm jumping all around. Too much good food.
Yeah, I mean, I genuinely don't think I had a bad meal the entire of my 2 months in Asia. And that might sound a bit dramatic, but I genuinely don't think we did.
There is a shop in Kuala Lumpur and probably all over Malaysia called The Art of Soy. And as someone who's lactose intolerant, I really appreciate adventures with soy, because there are not many drinks you can get. It's quite limited, I think. And I think Asia is elite when it comes to like soy-based drinks. And yeah, I remember getting really excited because the flavors that you can get there are just amazing. And I can't remember any at the moment, but just lots of different fruits you wouldn't normally get. And can we talk about also one of the things I miss in Southeast Asia are fruits, which are big and juicy and just something you would never get in the UK unless you want to spend £1 million. But it's like dragon fruit and mango as well.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. What's the fruit you were telling me about? It's like that brown, round
thing. So the it's called a snake fruit. That's what you just made me remember. But I first had it when I was in KL with my family. So it's called snake fruit in English, I think, or snake something fruit, but it's called selak in Malay, I think. Sorry to any Malay speakers that I've just butchered that. I really loved it. Like, it's quite a dry fruit. It's not a juicy fruit like you just described. It's kind of like cloves, like big cloves, a bit like a mangosteen has, but quite firm. And I think it's like got this like bitter, sour taste almost, but soury sweet, I would say. And I love it. And I've seen it in England since, but I'm like, I know that's going to be terrible, so I'm not going to eat it. But I am definitely going to eat it. Well, I'm going to try and find it when I go back. But I think it's kind of native to Malaysia and Indonesia, so I don't know whether I'll be able to get it this time, because I'm not going to either of those places. But one day, I'll go back for my snake fruit. Yeah.
Well, speaking about going back to Asia, we are going to go back to Asia, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Amy was not put off by traveling with me the first time and has agreed to a second, third and fourth trip, honestly. But maybe we just talk about the second one, which is coming up quite soon. So do you want to tell everyone what we're doing?
We're going to be meeting up in Japan. So I'm going to be traveling with the family pics to Korea first, just for 1 or 2 days, just because it was cheaper to fly into Incheon. And then we're going to head into Kyoto. I've got my tickets for Ghibli Park. I got up at 5 a.m. this week and got my tickets. Dedication, inspired by Carly, our good friend Carly, who always gets tickets to everything, but I managed to achieve it. So really excited about that. And then we're going to go to Takayama, and then we're going to meet Charlie in Tokyo, where, like I said, we're going to do a ton of walking to make up for the lack of walking. Because I heard, I have lived in Japan before, but I've completely forgotten what it was like there. And actually, I did do a lot of walking when I used to live there. And I remember reading lots of tips online about travel to Japan. And actually, you need really good shoes because it is a beautiful place to walk everywhere. So yeah, I've got a full itinerary. We're going to visit a massive stationery shop and yes. Eat loads of food, tons of sushi. And yeah, I think mainly eating and visiting just the stunning scenery of Japan. I'm so excited to show you around Tokyo.
I'm so excited for the stationery shop. Amy said to me, she was like, what do you want to do? And I was like, I want to eat sushi and go to the stationery place. So that's my only contribution.
And making glasses.
Oh yeah, and we're going to get glasses. That's going to be fun. Yeah. Not glasses.
Glasses. Because they are suited to Asian noses.
Yeah. So if you've watched this podcast on YouTube, because we are now putting them on YouTube in case you didn't know, just in case you want to see our faces, I put makeup on specially for you, but you will notice I'm wearing my glasses at the moment, but they just slide down my face, and I want glasses that are made for my face, made for my nose bridge. So that's what we're going to do in Japan, and I'm really excited.
I feel ridiculously overexcited, and I feel that we also so I actually read something the other day, which was posted on my work, because I work for a travel company, and someone had written, oh yeah, there's a study from the New York Times that shows that people get the biggest happiness boost from planning a holiday and not always just from going on the holiday. Do you think that applies to us, Charlie?
I think if anyone read our WhatsApp messages over the past 4 months, they would say we're insufferable, because we don't even have proper conversations. I think we just send each other something and we'd be like, I'm so tired. So yes, I think it is I don't think it's more exciting though. I feel like nothing can actually compare to being there and just the excitement of being there. But I do think the build up to it is very exciting. I think that is part of the joy of a holiday.
Yeah, I think this holiday has poured me through the winter months.
100%.
Yeah, it's given me life, because I think having lived there and now going there with you and there with Mr. Pix and my daughter, and meeting up with friends who I hadn't seen in years, I haven't seen these friends, well, We're going to go and visit my Japanese mom. And I haven't seen her in over 15 years. And she's going to have us round to her house and she's going to cook us lunch. And it's going to be so nice.
Yeah.
And meeting my friend Andrew. Hi, Andrew. He runs a YouTube channel, Tokyo BTM. So please check that out. It's, if you want to know anything about LGBTQ plus life in Tokyo, he's your man. And just being able to do that and seeing how Japan has changed. Because I think when I was there, and this is going to really show my age, but TikTok and YouTube blogging and things like that wasn't really a thing. So when I went there, I was really a fish out of water. I had no idea where to go, what to do. I don't think I really took advantage of my time there properly. Also, I was poor. So now I'm there with disposable cash and like my really good friends and my family. I just think it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I can't wait. But that's only half of our holiday. Do you want to tell everyone what the second half of the holiday is?
So then, because we can't get enough of each other, we are going to Vietnam. We're going to meet up with Mayanne and Jamie. And we're going to, first of all, we're going to go to Hoi An, where we're going to get some clothes made. That was one of the first priorities. We've even chosen our outfits. I've told you, like, we've planned everything down to the second. And I think we're then going to go to Hanoi, aren't we?
Yeah. So we fly into Da Nang. But then pretty much immediately go to Hoi An, and then fly up to Hanoi, and I fly out of Hanoi. I think, do you fly out of Hanoi as well?
Yes.
Yeah. So we're very excited. So I think I've got about a week in Tokyo and a week in Vietnam, kind of. Mm-hmm. There's a bit more maybe. But I cannot wait. And I actually think this holiday came about because we wanted the outfits tailored. So I think that's where we started. We started with, we want some outfits tailored for, can I say what it's for? Is that public knowledge?
Let's say a special event.
A special event. Okay. A special event. We were like, no, we've got to get tailored outfits.
Yes.
So it started from there, and then it just grew in a way that only our holidays do, I feel like. And now, yeah, we're going soon. So it'll be in, well, you're going next month.
Yes, yeah.
But I'm going in April. So you go a little bit before me. But I cannot wait. So maybe we do another podcast after that.
We should do, let's just do a yearly podcast.
Yeah.
Podcast.
After podcast. Yeah.
Every trip. Okay, so I want to know about your learnings. What I've learned is, you know what? I booked separate rooms anyway for this trip, so that's going to be leveled up on this trip anyway. But the other thing that you taught me is washing our clothes while we're on holiday. So not waiting until you get home and you've got a stinky suitcase full of dirty pants, but actually washing it there and then. That's such a good tip.
Yeah. That is, I think because I was away for 2 months, I was like, why would I wait to get home and then clean everything when I get home? Why don't I just get it all cleaned on like one of my last days? Obviously, I cleaned it in between as well. But then when I got home, I could just put it away. It was glorious. Yeah, I'm going to do that again as well.
Oh, and every time I smelt my clothes, you know, we had our clothes laundered in the Rennie Tang in Penang, and I could smell the smell of the washing powder that they used. Yeah. And I also remember when we were putting our clothes in a bag to get washed, and I was like, are you going to, like, wash our pants? Are you going to put your pants in? I don't know why, but I felt a bit nervous about someone seeing my sweaty pants. But you were like, yeah, and like, you chucked in, and now I'm like, yeah, of course, no brainer.
I mean, I was away for 2 months. What else am I going to do with my pants? Like, do you want me to just not wash them? Surely that's a worse alternative. But yeah, I actually got my clothes laundered in every country that I went to, and 10 out of 10 would recommend. I think Malaysia was actually the best. But I think it was also more expensive. So do with that information what you will. But yeah, what other lessons did we learn? How to cross the road in Vietnam. I feel like that was a steep learning curve for us.
I mean, my learnings from that was just to cling on to you.
That's true. Yeah, follow me. I learned that we actually are very compatible holiday companions. That's cute, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, I feel like we are really understanding of each other's needs and like what works, and really relaxed. Like if there was at any point you wanted to say, oh no, I'm just going to go do my own thing, or I really want to go here, then I think we're quite relaxed about that kind of thing. And also, I really like the fact that you were happy to have a rest in the middle of the day. Because if we got up at 7 a.m. ready for breakfast and then out all day, I just wouldn't be able to cope. I'd just be too tired. I always need that middle of the day nap before we go out again. So I really appreciated that you're that kind of person.
And we both have like TikTok scrolly time where we might be in the same room, but we do talk to each other for a bit, which I also need. I need the time to not talk to people. So, yeah.
And I think we also enjoy the same things like eating food. Like, food's so important to us because I love researching food.
Yeah, you were good at that. Yeah, you be in charge of the Google Maps. I'll be in charge of the logistics of how we physically get to A, from A to B. Yeah, so that's how we've split it this time, that you've mainly planned Japan and I've mainly planned Vietnam, although you've definitely done more planning than I have, but that's fine. It will happen.
You've been there before, so you already have a plan, really, don't you, from last time?
I got a plan in my head. But yeah, so if you I mean, do you have anything else to say, or do we want to kind of wrap it up a
No,
bit? Okay.
we can wrap this up.
So if you have enjoyed this podcast then, and you want to hear about our trip when we come back, please just humor us and tell us it was really great and you want to hear more about our travels. And then maybe we'll tell you where we're going for 2025 and 2026 as well.
Okay, then. So this was But Where Are You From? A podcast. Sorry. But this was Where Are You From? A podcast by BC, Britain's East and Southeast Asian Network. I was Amy Fung, and my co-host was.
Charlie Wong, woo!
Woohoo! And our website is www.bscene.co.uk. Connect with us on Instagram, that's at bscene.bscene.n, and Twitter is exactly the same but with an underscore. And also, if you really enjoy what we do, please donate to our coffee, which is ko-fi.com/bscene. And we look forward to hearing about your travels. Comment on this post if we do a social Instagram post and tell us, what are your learnings? What's your travel style from Asia? When did you last go? La 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 la, whatever you want.
Yeah, and share any tips you've got for Japan and Vietnam. We'll take them all. Yeah, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.